This episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by Upstart and Manscaped. More on that later. Let's get into the do.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We are over here doing it in the Nightpants Studios. I am Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com. Ryan Sickler on all social media. Make sure you are subscribed to the YouTube page, please. I said page. I was going to say channel, and then I said page. Make sure you're subscribed to it. You get video there every Tuesday. The audio goes up on Mondays, and that's where you'll see some really good episodes. Time code stamps, they're in the episode. You can go look. If you're like, oh, where was that one story? Boom, you can jump there easy. Trying to do things to make things easy on everybody, all right? Patreon is going so good. You guys are, man, the fucking stories. The fucking stories you all have out there. It's called The Honeydew with Y'all, and I'm highlighting the lowlights with y'all, all right? So subscribe, and if you think you have a story or you know someone that's got that, you're like, you got to fucking submit it, please. HoneydewPodcast@gmail.com is where you can send the highlights of your story. And then the HoneydewPodcast.com is a website where you can subscribe to the Facebook fan page, follow me on all social media, and that's where you can get your merch. And I want to say something about merch, and I asked the guys to put a little disclaimer on the website for you too, because right now things are getting slowed with the postal service, so it'll be a minute sometimes before you get your stuff, and I want to make sure everybody gets taken care of. I know how hard you work for your money, and I know right now in these times, if you're even spending it on some night pants or night shorts or some shit like that, I appreciate the shit of you, and I want you to know you're going to get it. It's just things with the postal service are a little jacked up, you know what I'm saying? And then the Santa Monica Music Center, where I record every week. If you live in LA or if you live anywhere in the world and you want music lessons, you can get them right here from trained LA musicians. They're great. You can do it all online. Go to santamonicamusic.com. Use the code Honeydew. They'll waive the registration fee and they'll give you a free lesson when you sign up for a package. All right. So now that that is all out of the way, I can't thank you all enough for your support. If you're new here, welcome. What we do here is we highlight the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. And today I'm very excited to have here for the first time on The Honeydew, please welcome Allie Makovsky. All right. Welcome to The Honeydew. I like your little small clap.
My you can get baby big, clap.
Girl. You got a bomb on your fucking shirt.
There I don't want to make too much ruckus.
It's okay.
You I want can it make to be it. A realistic applause.
That's what you feel
yeah,
like you
I'm
would
like,
get.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, it's a weird time right now.
It's a weird time. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you being here for real. And you sent some stories that I'm really excited to talk to you about. But before we do, please promote everything you want to promote.
Okay, I have a podcast called Resting Bitch. I don't like the name anymore, but that is the name of the podcast.
Why don't you like it anymore?
Because it's hard to have a podcast with the word bitch in it.
Yeah.
It's difficult to search. It's difficult to say to friends and loved ones. Like when my aunt is like, oh, what's your podcast? I'm like, it's called Resting Bitch. And she's like, yeah, of course. Of course. So it's just hard in that way, you know?
Yeah, that's understood.
And also I want to make merch, but I feel like it's always so aggressive when there's like a cuss word on a t-shirt. It feels like very middle school, like, my parents don't watch me, you know?
yeah, my parents don't watch yeah. me.
So it's hard, but I like my podcast, and that's all that matters.
All right.
So
well, you can change the name.
I know, I'm thinking about it.
Just do it.
I don't know.
Do it.
But at this point, I feel attached to it.
Why? Every excuse or reason you just gave is a reason to go ahead and do it.
No, but I mean, there's more reasons. It's like I've talked about it so much on other people's podcasts that at this point, if people listen to old episodes and they type in Resting Bitch, it won't pop up.
It'll still pop up.
Really?
It'll stay on that same feed. If you keep the same feed, it'll still be just under the new, you know.
Okay, maybe I will.
Yeah,
I'll
you should just
it.
Do it. You
I'll
clearly
do a focus
want to do
group.
It. Do it. Do a focus group. Okay. See what your fans think.
Okay. So yeah, I have that, and then my Instagram's not Allie Mack, and I talk to strangers on Omegle on my Instagram every
once
in a while.
I watched you doing that. Yeah.
And also I post like really cute pictures of me.
Yeah.
But mostly It's mostly cute pictures. Every once in a while, it'll be funny.
You just have a good style. I watched you do an ollie on a skateboard the other day. Yeah.
That was fun.
That was good.
I've been trying to skate, and I've been trying to ollie, and it seems so easy. Like, when you watch people skate, you're like, oh, I can do that, and then you try doing it, and you're like, I don't think my body and my brain are, like, in sync right now. Nothing's adding up.
My stepson skates all the time, and I watch him do these tricks and shit, and it just made me laugh the other day about kids, because my daughter saw some, I don't know, some damn Disney Plus show, and it was some gymnastics, and the kid flipped, did a bunch of backflips, and she just looks at me. She goes, can you do that? And I just started laughing because kids think you're an adult. You can do anything. Yeah. And I was like, nah, I can't do that. Even in my heyday, I couldn't do that. I wasn't good at that. I was good at this. You know, I'm sitting there having to explain her. She goes, I want to do that. I go, well, if you want to do that, you got to fucking put some time into that. Like, that's work. Yeah. You know, you understand? Work, work, work. She's like, maybe I don't want to do that. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot. Just a flip.
That's something you're
not going to be able to do. I want my kids to build life skills that they can use in their 80s. You ain't doing a fucking round
no
off.
Flips. No.
You know, there's a limit when that shit cuts off.
Yeah.
You ain't using that in your fucking elder years.
It's when you're in college and you're at a party and you're like, I used to be on the gymnastics team. Yeah. And then you do backflips out of nowhere. That's fun.
Yeah, but like, when you're my God.
At your senior living center, and you're like, I used to do that. Everyone's right. Like, well, I used to fight in wars.
That's right. Yeah. And my daughter's going to be like, I can show y'all how to pick that lock. Yeah. Watch this. I'm going to teach her real life skills that you can still use in your elder years.
I wish I learned stuff like that. I have to, like, I think my transmission's fucked up on my car. It might be. I don't know. And I always call my dad for car stuff. And I'm like, I wish I just knew and I didn't have to rely on him.
But here, let me give you, I'm going to defend you. You can't work on a car these days. It's intentional. When I went and leased this one car, like, it's got 23 computers. I'm like, what are you talking? It's a Ford. What are you talking about? You can't change the oil in your driveway on these cars anymore or do brakes anymore. Like, it also avoids the warranty and the blah, 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 and all this bullshit, you know? So your dad, how old's your dad?
He's 62.
Yeah, your dad grew up in a time when you could work on a car.
Yeah.
So he knows about cars because you could take them apart and work on it. And it wasn't much in the fucking engine back then. Now you can't. So you're all right. Don't feel like inadequate because you don't know car shit, because there isn't a dude out there right now that does either, unless they've been training in these new facilities and all these damn dealerships.
They're pretty much up in like Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Making a Microsoft
probably
on wheels.
Yep. Yeah. Chips in the computer. Yeah. Oh, we can do this and this. Look at the Teslas.
I know. They're too much.
Who the fuck's working on that?
They're way too much.
You ain't pulling that out in the garage and, you know, just putting it up there on a Sunday and changing your fucking, I mean a Sunday, and changing your oil. You know, that ain't happening.
Do Teslas even run on oil?
No.
Oh.
All electric, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know
me
any
neither.
Of that shit. That's saying. But I want to get into stories with you because you have a list of some stuff. And I want to say this too. It's every time I see you, you always give me the best hugs. You've always been so fucking nice to me. And it's I asked you today how old you are, because how old are you?
24.
It is so nice to be accepted by, you know, comedians who are alive almost as long as you've been doing comedy.
Yeah.
So that's really nice to be. I appreciate you because you're a positive influence.
Well, you're always nice.
I mean, I try.
And you're not like a creepy dude, you know? Because there's people who I'm like, I'm sure you're not creepy, but I don't want to hug you, you know? Like, you just like, I don't think you're creepy, but you feel creepy.
Yeah.
And so I'll do like the side hug. But you're like such a nice dude. And I don't even know how I like actually, I do know how I met you.
How?
I think we met at Brett Banta's house show.
Oh, yeah. That went on the news. You know that?
Yeah.
That went on the local news a lot, actually. Yeah. They ran that on local news out here a lot. People would hit me up and be like, hey, I just saw you on the news. I'm like, from what? And they're like, this house party show
or
something?
You broke into a house. They spun the story.
I remember that.
Yeah, you killed a family.
That's where we met.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I saw you at the store and then, yeah.
But also, usually I let the people hug me first. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't try to just press up on everybody.
Yeah, that is a weird move.
Yeah. But I also hug equally. I would say I hug more guys than women in stand-up, for sure. I'm a hugger.
Yeah. Do you think
Not
hugs? Do you think hugs are over?
pretty much a wrap for a lot of people, I think.
I'm still doing it.
Yeah, I'll hug you out after this. We'll hug it up. With masks on, of course.
I just think hugs are so important to life.
I am struggling with this whole school thing right now because we're homeschooling, as is mandated by the state of California. And I'm not a fucking teacher. No. My daughter's only in kindergarten, but I'm not a fucking teacher. So I respect you. I have a lot of friends who are teachers. I don't know how they're doing all this shit. But the one thing I'm really bummed about is, and also proud about as a father, I'll just be straight up here. We had this little, you know, she was in TK last year. I grew up, it was pre-K, but it's transitional kindergarten. It's like, if it's all because of the way her birthday falls. It's an age thing. Like, well, you could stay in preschool if you want and pay all that extra money, or you can go into a half-day public school transition for basically what was supposed to be kindergarten and school and is now homeschool. Transitioned them right into my home, you know? So we had this little like meeting with the teacher where they tell you about your kid and everything. And she's like, look, you don't have to worry about anything. Your daughter's killing it. And she goes, but I want to tell you something. She's like, your daughter is one of the nicest kids I've ever met. She's like, your daughter, if someone gets hurt, she goes right over to them to make sure they're okay. She'll give them hugs. I straight up started crying.
That's so sweet.
I was like, and now I think about that shit. Like, these kids are missing out on that sort of interaction, especially at a young age. Yeah. Like, once you've had it for a while, you know how to be, hopefully, nice. You know how to be kind to people. But these younger, like, real young kids are missing out on, you know, also they're missing out on watching kids get in trouble or themselves getting in trouble. Like, I don't want that shit again.
Yeah.
You know, it's so, it's like good luck to any parent right now who can keep their kid not distracted in the comfort of their own fucking home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and so many people, all your shit's there.
Yeah. And so many people don't have like a home environment where it is like comfortable or safe to be like learning or have like the means to do that.
Absolutely. And you have three or four kids. Do they all have computers? Yeah. How the hell are you helping all these people? Plus, a lot of these people still have to go to work, like out of their home. So how in the fuck are you paying two? How the fuck can I afford a two? It's a crazy time right now. We have to figure out something, but I don't know what the fuck that is. Yeah. And I will give all the credit to the teachers and the staff and everything. They've done a great job at setting all this up because nobody really wants this.
Yeah.
But it's what has to happen now. So I think they've done a great job, but I think this country's about to get a lot fucking dumber. I just, for with sure. all of us educating our fucking kids, like, nah, man, we were supposed to do this one time. I've been all the way through public school and college. Trust me, I'm trying to tell everybody, you don't want me teaching.
No.
My daughter does not. I'm trying to make a better person, and I don't mean by being a physical teacher of grades in my home. That's going to be trouble.
And there's something about being disciplined by a teacher that's like,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
It's so different.
Way different.
Because like when you see your teacher, you like respect them, or at least I did. I was like, these people, like, they're different than my parents. Like, they don't love me. So this is like just how I treat them and how they treat me. Like, there's no like, well, you're my mom, so I have to do this, whatever. And so when your teacher's mad at you, you're just like, this is just me. This isn't like because of that thing that I did at Christmas 2 years ago.
Or
this is like just
my mom's
me.
Drinking again.
It's me at my core getting
it's not exactly what I'm saying. It's the truth.
It hurts.
And also watching a kid get in trouble and being like, I don't want to feel like that. That also puts a lot of kids in check too, you know? Good luck getting them to listen. They don't want to listen to us. We're their parents. They need teachers and coaches and people, good people like that in their life. All right. So all of that said, what was it like growing up for you? Where are you originally from?
I'm from Long Beach, California. Okay, Long Beach. So I'm not too far from here. My parents are still out there. Yeah. I mean, I grew up at, you know, public school. My parents got divorced when I was about 5 years old.
How many are you? Are the
I'm the youngest of three.
Three. Okay.
Yeah. My sisters are 7 and 5 years older than me. So I always say I was the accident. And my mom says that I was a gift from God.
That's nice.
And I'm like, you're not religious. So
all same parents.
All the all same three. Parents. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, they got divorced when I was five. So like my only memories of them being together are not like good. Like I don't picture them being like a happy family, you know? So when they told me they were getting divorced, I was like, this is amazing. I'm so happy for you guys. I can't wait to have two houses.
So all 5 years of your life are just like parent tension.
Yeah, for sure. It's like me hiding in the closet while they're fighting. Like my mom's like my biggest fan. So I always feel bad like talking about the like bad stuff, but she's always like, talk about the trauma. Like she gets excited. She's like, use it all. I'm like, okay, bitch, be careful what you wish for. But yeah, me and my sister would like set up a little like tea party in the closet. So every time they would fight, we would shut our door, go in the closet, like have like a little tea party.
Tea time!
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God. What were their fights like? Just verbal?
Verbal. It wasn't like physically abusive, at least that I saw, or I don't think at all. But yeah, it was just like verbal fights and arguments. I think mostly about money. And yeah. And then my mom initiated the divorce and they split up. And so I would just split custody between the both of them. But my dad had like most of the custody because my mom is an alcoholic and she was drinking a lot at the time. But my parents actually met in like a 12-step program. They were at like a convention in Palm Springs. So they were just like fueled up on energy drinks and like probably horny as shit, you know?
Yeah.
So they got together. They're like, let's have some kids. And then after they had me, they're like, we can probably drink and stuff. Like,
oh, so they went clean and sober for the years.
For like 13 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they were both in a, what were they both like before the program?
No clue. I don't know. I.
But bad enough that they both recognize we need help.
Yeah.
And they end up meeting there.
Yeah.
And then they go clean and sober together for 13
years? Together. Yeah. I think my dad had less time. He had like maybe 11 years sober before he started drinking again. And my mom had like 13 years sober before she started drinking again. And I don't know at what point in their sobriety they met, but eventually, you know, they had me and they're like, things are different now. We're adults. We can probably drink normally. And I think at first my dad would get like pretty sloshed. And then my mom was like casual and like fine. But then I don't know what happened and changed, but my mom got like way worse and she would like be super drunk. She picked me up from preschool drunk. She got a DUI outside of my preschool.
With
I don't remember this. I called my sister. I was like, what should I talk about? Like, it's kind of fucked up this show because I'm like asking my sister, I'm like, what trauma have I experienced? Like I blocked it all out. I'm like, what's traumatic?
Some people say to me, like, they look at the list of the, like, they'll email me a list and then they say to me at the end, like, I've never put my shit in a list like this before.
Really?
Wow. Looking at it like this really is fucking something. Or then talking about it or when you hear it back and you're like, oh my God. Yeah. Because it feels normal to
see,
you.
See, but I'm also sober now. It runs in the family. So okay. I've been sober for almost 5 years now. And so I'm so used to like talking about all of these things and like, you know, having other people hear it and then like having other people share their experiences with me and being like, oh, it's not that bad. Like everyone has some, you know, I think when you're going through it at the time, especially young, you're like, this is only happening to me.
Yeah. And it feels normal until you get out into the real world and realize like, oh my God, shit's way different. All right. Yeah. So hold on. I want to go back for a second.
Okay.
So your mom starts drinking. What's your dad do for a living?
They're both longshoremen.
Your mom too?
Mom and dad. My mom got my dad into longshoring.
Come on.
Yeah. So they still will work together. They've been divorced like since I was five, but they still will work together. Yeah.
Okay.
They've gone through phases where they like hated each other, talk shit about each other. And then now they're cool.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
That's the way to be.
Yeah. They like do Christmases together now, which is weird. I'm like, who's this for?
Santa's been gone.
Yeah. I'm like, do you guys want to get back together? Like, what is this?
Yeah,
it's
right.
Really weird. But it saves me a trip, which is nice. But so they got divorced. My mom was like always drinking. Not always.
And she got
like
a DUI in front of the preschool.
Multiple. I mean, it's not a contest, but she has like 4 DUIs.
Really?
Yeah.
She's
up loves
there in
them.
Josh Adam Myers territory.
Yeah.
She loves them.
On my birthday, my birthday's coming up. On my birthday, like 4 years ago, I was living with her. I was doing comedy and living at her house. And I'm like, where's mom? It's my birthday. Don't hear from her. Don't see her. And I know, like, that's what's fucked up about coming from like an alcoholic home or any sort of like trauma. I feel like trauma's thrown around so often.
Yeah.
But it was a traumatic upbringing in some ways. But like, I feel like when you come from like chaotic environment as a child, like you're just so used to being like something bad is happening. Like you just know, it's like your spidey senses are tingling. And so I'm like, something's up. And then I get a call the next day from my sister who's like, so mom's in jail. She's so crazy. I love the way that she drinks because it only makes sense to another alcoholic, like someone who like really gets it. She went to the hotel that's 5 minutes from where we live because she wanted to drink alone. And I guess the air conditioning in her room wasn't like as cold as she wanted it to be because she probably had the sweats.
Hold on. She got a room there?
Yeah, she got a room at the hotel. Just herself.
This is what I'm saying.
For my birthday. She treated herself to a hotel.
When you said this, I'm thinking she's just going to the hotel bar to drink and is going to then leave. No. She got a fucking room to sit in the room and drink? Yeah, that's like leaving Las Vegas type shit right there.
Yeah. So she's just in the room. I guess something was wrong with her.
And this is 4 years ago.
This is about four.
So she's getting DUI.
Yeah, it might actually be 5 years ago. But somewhere along those lines, like 4 or 5 years ago for my birthday. And I guess she like went to the desk, the front desk, and was like, the air conditioning's broken in my room, whatever. Like, just so drunk. And they called the cops on her.
But why?
I don't know.
Why can't you be drunk, I don't politely
know the full
drunk
extent of it. You know, there's definitely more to the story, but it's one of those things where we just acknowledge it happened and are like, we don't need to know the details.
She got arrested?
But yeah, so the cops came. They're like, did you drive here? And so they went out to her car and it was like very clearly driven because I think she drove to Ralph's, which was down the road to pick, because she gets like big guzzlers Handles, of just vodka. She drank recently and it was like a sad drink, and I went over to her place, which I normally don't do. It like freaks me out because I'm like, this is not the person I know when she's drinking. But her sister, my aunt, had just passed away, and I knew that she was going to drink because I'm like, I don't know how well she's going to deal with this. So I went over to visit her. She was drunk, but she was like, she wasn't fully like crazy yet. She was just like drunk mom vibes. And she was mixing her vodka with Crystal Light.
Watching her count.
She like becomes a southern like alcoholic
calorie
mom.
Calorie counting.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes. Isn't that so gross?
It's so weird.
And she was like, I only drink a little bit. And I like looked at it and I smelled it. I was like, this is disgusting.
Crystal Light's, I've never, that shit just tastes like poison.
And she's like, I drink so much water. I'm like, no, you drink Crystal Light. That's different. It's not the same. That's like being like, I drink so much water. It's like, just because Diet Coke has like 1% of water it's not water.
Right, it's not water.
It's not water.
Were you in the car when she got the DUI in preschool?
I guess that time I wasn't, but there was another time.
You've been in the car when it's happened?
Well, so I had my friend Savannah over at my house. I'm in middle school, I'm in elementary school. I was pretty young. Well, my sister was taking driver's ed classes. So my sister's 15. If I'm 7 years younger than her,
eight.
You're the teacher now.
Eight.
I was 8 years old.
I got
okay.
that.
Great.
I got basic.
Yeah. Your daughter's going to do great in math.
But they changed it. I don't know how to do the new math.
Oh, yeah.
They changed math. That's what I'm saying. You want me to teach, but you all change math.
Yeah.
How
do you change math?
I don't even know how they changed it. I remember my stepson doing it. I looked at it and I was like,
don't know it.
Good luck, bro.
Yeah.
Just pay attention in class.
There's got to be like YouTube tutorials.
Common core. Yeah.
At this point.
Math. I'm going to have to learn all this
shit. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm 8 years old. My friend Savannah's over at my mom's apartment. She's got me for the weekend. I'm over there. My sister's home too. My other sister's at her driver's ed course. My mom's like, Allie, Savannah, do you guys want to pick up, you know, Brittany with me? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I guess. And my sister's like, Allie, don't go. Like, don't, like, stay with me. Hang out. And I'm like, no, I want to go with mom. So.
But did your sister say that because she knew?
She knew. My sister knew. But it's like this weird thing where we, like, don't want to upset mom when she's drunk. But it's like, whatever. Anyway, so I go with my friend Savannah. We're driving with my mom.
So your mom's drunk. Now got you
and
your
my
friend.
Yeah.
This is the kind of shit that scares you as a parent. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And my mom's a great woman, but when she drinks, it's not my mom anymore. Different person, you know? So I don't blame her. She has a disease of alcoholism, and that's, like, different. But, so we were driving, we pick up my sister, and it's my sister gets in the car. She knows immediately. She's like, "Mom, you're fucking drunk. Like, what the fuck? Like, let me drive." She hasn't even passed her driver's ed course, but she's like, and she had just watched the video that, like, what's the video when it's like, it's the video that they play in driver's ed when the person drunk drives and kills people.
Yeah, we watched
like it. Red Asphalt. That's what it's called. So my sister just watched that, and then she goes out to see my mom drunk, and she's like, "No,
your mom is driving drunk to pick your daughter or her daughter up at driver's ed class on the day she just wraps watching the drunk driving video. Yeah.
And then we got home and we realized like what had happened. And yeah, so just like many instances of that.
Have you been in the car when she's gotten a DUI? Like, what happens to you when in that situation?
I feel like I have, but I don't remember. I mean, I don't know. I remember my dad, there was one time I've only seen my dad drunk once.
But he was an alcoholic?
Yeah. I mean, he definitely has, like, alcoholic tendencies. Like, he can be very impulsive and, like, not... Like, he's, like, alcoholic, but with other things outside of alcohol. Like, with spending, he, like, spends in excess. And, like, with food, he definitely, like, binge eats and, like, has, like, a very addictive relationship with a lot of things. But I've only seen him drunk once. And we were leaving my cousin's bar mitzvah. And my sister, the oldest sister, she had now finished her driver's ed course. So... we get pulled over. My dad's blacked out.
You got pulled over. She's driving?
No, he's driving. He's just.
She's now finished.
Yeah.
And he's driving.
But she's still 15, so she doesn't have her license, but she's passed her course.
Way safer than someone who's blacked out behind the wheel.
Yeah, so we get pulled over. The whole family's in the car. Cops like, "What's going on? You're clearly drunk." And my sister's like, "I can drive."
Good for her.
Yeah. So then she drove us.
He let you guys go?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
That is lucky as fuck. Yeah. And she drove you all home?
She drove us home.
No shit.
Yeah. It might have been one of the... I feel like my dad probably at a certain point was like, "I'm sober now. Let's switch." But for the most part, because we were all the way like... we had to drive a long ways. But yeah, we made it. Made it safe.
I'm looking at your little list.
Yeah.
There's something I guess you found out about your dad and mom.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So what was it and how did you find out?
Okay. So growing up, you know, I'm in school. My parents, they're divorced. It's kind of weird, but I don't feel like one of those kids that's like, everything's fucked up. I was just like, my mom's an alcoholic. That's a lot to deal with. It hurts. But like, my dad's cool. Like, I've been definitely closer with my dad, I think. But then when I was in ninth grade, I went to a high school in Orange County, and everyone in Orange County is like a Christian surfer, you know?
Okay.
And so they were all the like popular kids at school. And I was like, okay, I'm going to convert to Christianity and start going to like youth group and like really get involved. And so that way I can be popular. And it didn't work. I started to go. I was going to youth group every week. I went to like Christian sleepaway camp, which is so boring. I got baptized and I came back like a Bible thumper. Like, I remember getting breakfast with my sister and she was like, "I'm just so stressed about, you know, my boyfriend and whatever." And I was like, "Well, in Psalms 3, 15,
you carried a Bible."
Yeah, I had my Bible with me, and she was like, "I can't hang out with you if you're going to read the Bible to me."
And that stopped it?
That stopped it, yeah. Well, also, I got a boyfriend, and I was like, fuck God. I'm trying to lose my virginity. I mean, that's God awesome. Is only so powerful awesome. Until you see your first dick, you know?
That's ridiculous. That's all it took to unwrap all that shit.
Yeah. I was like all in and then I was all out.
I'm all out. I want him to be all in. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to get some Holy Spirit in this. So.
So was anyone else in your family religious like that? Or were they all we're just going to accept this?
Everyone was like, you know, at least Allie has something.
Sure.
Because I think I was just all over the place and they were worried about me. I was like a very emo, like depressed kid. So they were like, if this is what gives her purpose, we're happy for her.
Okay, so hold on. You just said you were depressed, but you said you weren't all like everything sucks. So what was... What had you depressed?
I think I understood that people had it worse and that my situation wasn't as bad, but I think I definitely like looked at my situation like with a magnifying glass, and I like played into it because I thought that that would make me more unique. Like I remember talking to this guy who I had a huge crush on, and he was into My Chemical Romance, and he wore like red and black only, and I was like, he's like emo, and I was like, if I cut myself, he's gonna love me. And so I like tried it out, and I was like, I can't do this. But I was like, oh my God, I just cut myself. Like, yeah, I was like psycho.
Why?
Because I thought he would like me.
Okay, so that's, you wanted to be one of the cool kids. You did this because you thought you would be liked. What was that all about? Where does that come from?
I think because my sisters are 2 years apart and they're super close, I've always felt really left out ever since I was little. And I remember my sister asked me when I was in like elementary school, she was like, do you even have friends? And it like took me a second, and I was like, oh my God, I don't have any friends. Like I knew a lot of people, and I was always like a social butterfly, but I never had like a tight group of friends. And so it like just really hurt me. And I think I always looked for validation from guys, because my dad, although he, like both of my parents, I think are like great parents, I think they weren't as like emotionally involved. And so I think I kind of like looked for this escape from guys I went to school with.
I see.
Yeah. So I was like, how can I mold myself to be more interesting to this person?
But what was it about cutting and this guy you thought
that
would
resonate
with him?
Because this guy was emo. Yeah. And he liked emo girls, and I was not an emo girl. You know, like I didn't have like the side bangs that were like this. I only knew the Black Parade song from My Chemical Romance. So I was like, he's, you know, I have to cut myself. And I didn't make a good attempt. I don't even think I bled, but I was like, oh my God, I just cut myself. And he was like, okay. And I was like, well, I'm not going to do this again. But yeah, I was like, I was definitely like looking for validation and attention. And I think like what
really... But always from boys, from guys?
Yeah, mostly. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. As opposed to...
And how'd that go?
Not well. Not great. Not great. The first relationship I got in high school, I was like, we're just together. Like, I don't know if I necessarily like you that much, but like, I don't want to be alone. So it was like a really weird 2 year relationship where I was just like with this guy who I did love, but only because we were together for so long and spent all of our time together.
But also, you're so young when you look back on these things, like, I mean, I've got years on you.
Yeah.
And you look back and you don't know what the fuck you're doing. I mean, honest to God, all that shit is hopefully practice and error and learning how to be better.
Yeah.
I mean, who am I? I still haven't figured that fucking shit out. You know what I mean? Maybe I should have dated more when I was younger. I don't know. But
well, I think like, so when I was in ninth grade and I went through my Christian phase before I got into any like actual relationships, praise God. I remember telling my dad, I was like, why, I got back from this Christian summer camp. I learned a lot of things about the Bible. And I was like, Dad, why did you and Mom get divorced? Because in the Bible, it says that you shouldn't get divorced unless your spouse dies or there's an affair. And he was like, oh, yeah, well, you know, I had an affair. And I had no idea about this. And so I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, before you were born, I had an affair with this woman in Seattle.
Okay, so after your two sisters were born, he then had an affair.
Yeah. I don't know if it was the only one.
Sure, but this is the one he's talking about.
But this is the one that's being mentioned. And so in my head, I perceived that as like, I'm not supposed to be born. My dad, you know, knew that the relationship was fucked up and still had me, knowing that I'd come into this home that's like not a happy home. And that's when I got like really depressed. And I think that's when I like did like get away from church, get into this relationship because I felt alone. And
did you lose your virginity to that guy?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. I waited though. I waited. Like, oh, yeah. I waited.
You it gave was like, up God. I was going to be like, did you actually go through
with
it?
Yeah, for sure. On 11/11/11.
How about that?
How about
I'm
that?
I'm a big 11/11.
So now every time 11/11 comes around, I'm like, what's Blake up to?
Blake.
He's sweet. But yeah, it like really fucked me up. And
so you felt like what you were, you never looked at it like, okay, maybe that affair made them sort of take a long look at each other, and then maybe they were going to really try to work something out.
No, I definitely baby. Well, no, because I mean, my dad said this is what the also more fucked up part is that my dad said no one knows, don't tell anyone. So now I just have a secret.
Shit.
So now I have the secret, and
you
I'm
don't
just
anymore.
And now every time I'm with my sisters, I'm just like, ooh, don't talk about dad and mom.
Wait, you've never? Is there any chance you're going to listen to this?
Well, so then
okay.
So then there's this point. I think,
fucking said that to you?
Yeah.
But your mom knew.
At this point, I don't think anyone knows except for me.
So why did they get a divorce then?
It was for financial reasons, I believe.
But he said, we got a divorce because I had an affair with a woman in Seattle. So I'm under the impression that your mom is aware of that fucking
and
lady
I'm
in Seattle, and she's like, fuck you, and they split.
And I'm under the impression that they got divorced for financial reasons because my mom initiated the divorce. When I heard them fighting, it was always financial. So I've just always assumed it's finances. So I don't even think my mom knows about the affair. I think my dad's just saying, well, yeah, I had an affair.
And shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Shut up. We got divorced. Who cares? But I also had an affair. And so I'm just, like, fucked up, you know? I'm, like, crying in my room. I'm not supposed to be born. My life's a lie, whatever. I've gotten over it at this point. I've realized, like, I should look at it as, like, you know, what a miracle. Despite all of their problems and issues, I was still able to be born and make the most of it, you know?
Yeah.
But at the time, I was, like, you know, I had no source of, like, relief from any of this. Anyway, I found out, like, only 4 or 5 years ago, maybe even less than that, I'm with my sisters, and they mentioned something about my dad having an affair. And I was like, you guys know that dad had an affair? And they're like, yeah, we've always known. And so I've just been holding on to this secret, thinking I'm the only one with this knowledge when everyone knew, including my mom, everyone.
And they just didn't tell you.
They just didn't tell me, yeah. And I didn't tell them. Yeah.
So, that's a fucked up thing.
Yeah, it's
to do.
Super fucked up. But I love them. Yeah.
You're still close with both your parents?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our first sponsor, Upstart. Now, during these economically turbulent times, everyone is looking for a way to feel more financially secure. So if you're still needlessly throwing money every month at high-interest credit card debt, it's time you checked out Upstart, the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Now is the time to find out how low your Upstart rate can be to help you pay off high-interest credit card debt. Now, unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. You don't need a degree or a diploma to apply, though. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000, so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate, and since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate and proceed with your application. And the best part is if your loan is approved and accepted, most people are getting their funds the very next business day. Now, I know some of you have used it, and you've hit me up and told me how great it's been, so I'm glad you guys are out there using it. Take it from other people, everybody. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart. See why Upstart has a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/honeydew to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/honeydew. Our next sponsor is Manscaped. Now listen up, fellas, because today we have a new Manscaped product alert. Manscaped just released the Weed Whacker, nose and ear hair trimmer. Take a look in the mirror and I guarantee you'll see hair sticking out of those holes right now. It's time to keep your ear and nose hair looking as nice as your clean-shaven pubes, all right? I got one. I'm always trimming my nose hair. You won't see nose hair coming out of here. I even get those little ends on the side. I go on the ear right here. I go behind. It's gross. If you're not going to do it, if you're not going to have the people cut your hair do it, then get your own thing and do it at home if you're too embarrassed. Trim it up, guys. It looks disgusting. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Weed Whacker. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate little holes. Its intelligently contoured design enhances the trimming experience, and it's waterproof, which makes for easy operation and cleaning. The only nose hair trimmer on the market with a powerful and rechargeable lithium-ion battery that lasts for up to 90 minutes of use. Have you ever pulled your nose hair out with your fingers? You know how you snap them out and your eyes start running? That's going to hurt worse than nicking your balls, I promise. Manscaped is making whacking your weeds a time to look forward to, delivering maximum confidence while providing hygiene. It's time to upgrade your Manscaped routine with the Weed Whacker. Thank you, Manscaped, for keeping our pubes trimmed and our hairs and our holes looking nice. Now here's the deal. You get 20% off and free shipping with the code honeydew at manscaped.com. Again, that's 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com and use code honeydew. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds. Now, let's get back to the dew. So tell me about this, the solo. I want to hear this story about your little solo.
Yeah, so when I was in eighth grade, I was in choir. I was in the eighth grade choir at my school. I've always wanted attention. Like I said, I guess that does answer your question. I wanted attention from guys, but I also wanted attention from teachers, from my peers, from everyone. Yeah. And so I'm in choir, and every once in a while, my choir teacher would offer solos. So we'd have to audition, we'd have to sing a song, and then she'd pick like three people who could do a solo at the performance. And I'm like, I sing better than everyone. I'm a star. She should see that and know that and like just give me every single solo available. And so I get a solo. I'm not even happy because I'm like, it's only one solo. I should have all of them. And my friend got sick and couldn't do her solo.
So I want to stop you there for a second because it sounds like you and maybe a lot of comedians, I don't know, suffer from what I suffer from, is my self-confidence is fine.
Yeah.
I believe I can do, like you, I could sing every one of these. Yeah. My self-confidence, my self-esteem does not match. I wish my self-esteem matched my self-confidence.
Yes.
You know, yeah. I really do wish that. I try to work on that, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's important, I think, for someone who you say you were depressed at times and this and that. You still believed in yourself. So that's
yeah.
strong.
Yeah. Well, I feel like my depressive waves were so, like, infrequent. And it was just, I think I was just, like, a very angsty, moody kid. Because when I was in college, I was prescribed to, like, Lexapro. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this doesn't work. Like, I feel really weird. Like, it doesn't make me feel better. And I think it was just, like, the situation I was in. I had, like, no coping mechanisms. And I just felt like I couldn't keep up to anything. And, like, everyone knew how to, like, live. And I was just, like, no one gave me the manual on life. And I just felt like I can't keep up. Like, I'm overwhelmed always. And, like, nothing's okay. And then now I feel much better. Like, I feel like I've become an adult and like learned how to do things and like show up for myself and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, for a long time I was just like, I need attention, I don't know what else to do, whatever. So I get the solo. My friend also gets a solo. She gets sick right before the performance and she gives me her solo. So now I have two. My Double dream up. Has come true. This is the best day of my life. My dad's coming to the show. He never comes to events, you know. He's at the show. My sisters are at the show. My school is at the show. I get up and I'm like trying to memorize her solo, you know, because it's brand new to me. So I'm like memorizing it. I know my solo. I get up there. I do the first solo. Feels so good. You know, I'm in the spotlight. I get back to the choir behind me. My next solo is coming up and I'm like, here we go again. No one's going to see it coming. I have two solos. I get up there. I do not remember any of the words. My mind is blank. I can't even pretend I know the words. I can't come up with something. Nothing is coming to my brain. It feels like five
hours.
Do you
remember the song? Was it a popular song?
It was from Hairspray the Musical.
I know. Yeah, it's a Baltimore one.
It's the song called Mama, I'm a Big Girl Now. Stop, don't, no, please. So everyone's singing that behind me. I'm supposed to be doing my little solo. And I'm just up there frozen. I look behind me thinking someone's gonna like mouth the words to me. It's not coming out. I'm choking. I'm just up there blabbering like
ah. You did try something.
yeah. No one. And I'm just like, I think at one point I like waved for a friend to come over. On, just like, do it. No one comes up. So I'm just standing up there. I'm looking at my dad. I'm looking at this kid, Bobby, I had a crush on. And I just stepped back into line, and I was like so embarrassed after the show. My dad brought me flowers.
Aww.
Oh, it was awful.
That's your first bomb.
That was my first bomb. Yeah, it hurt. My other biggest bomb was with Joe Rogan in St. Louis.
I heard you say this, but say it.
I was in St. Louis, like, you know, in this arena, there's 10,000 people. Or no, I was in St. Paul.
I was about to say, I was almost about to correct you and say
it's confusing. In St. Paul. How am I supposed to remember? I was in St. Paul, 10,000 people. I get on stage. I'm the first one up. I go, what's up, St. Louis? Dead silence.
No one said
10,000 people being completely quiet hurts.
How did you get out of it?
I said, what? What? And someone was like, St. Paul. And I was like, oh my God, yes, you're right. What's up, St. Paul? And then I just like slowly eased back into it.
Did you win them back?
I did win
them back.
That's
a hell of a hole to start.
I did win them back, but it was like not a smooth transition. I thought I was going to get burned after the show. I thought people were going to have like tiki torches. So I stopped saying what's up wherever I'm at.
I want to hear the story about crashing your car, because it seems like you really, for this one, you gave up God and went for it, huh?
Oh, yeah. I really gave up God. Well, there's two instances where I did this, and they kind of go together. I had money saved up because I was a child star for a brief moment.
You and what?
Go
ahead.
Well, because I was like, there's nothing really traumatic. Like, I wasn't touched as a child by any the adults.
Being a child star is different for sure.
It is different. So I called into this radio station, really popular radio station in LA. I ended up getting a job because I was funny when I was talking to the radio host, who happened to be Ryan Seacrest at the time. And so I'm talking to him. I'm 7 years old. I'm funny on the radio. And then they offer me a job. I end up working there for 4 years making prank phone calls on Kiss FM. So I had this, like, job. I got paid for it. And so I had this money saved up. And I was driving an old car. I wanted to move to L.A. I was driving up to L.A. a bunch from my parents' house. And so I used my money that was saved up to buy a brand new 2015 Honda Fit.
All right.
Yeah. And I got it in black. It was so nice. And
I hear a lot of was, and I saw you didn't pull up in it today.
We are now driving a 2003 Subaru Outback that I love.
You do love it. It's a good car,
It'll make you
though.
Appreciate a 2003 car after you crash a brand new car twice. You're like, I don't need anything fancy. So I get this brand new car 4 days later, after buying it outright in cash. 4 days later,
in cash.
I'm driving to meet up. I was at the Comedy Store. I met two Australian dudes who were just in town. They're staying at this hostel. I'm familiar with the hostel. I've had some hookups there before. with a rapper, rapper who I don't want to say his name because I don't know what he's doing. But his name is the name of a magician. He's not good or any. He was staying at a hostel, you know. That's how his rap career is going. So I'm familiar with this hostel and hooking up with people at this hostel. So I meet these two Australians. They're there. I'm like, I'll meet you there tonight, you know. And so I see a parking space right in front, and I'm like, God is good. He's looking out for me. So I make this wide U-turn in the far lane. There's another lane here. There's a car coming, but to me, they look like they're going slow enough and they're far enough behind. They're not. They're going full speed. I get T-boned. Airbags go off. My car's completely totaled.
And God's like, that's what you get, bitch.
Yeah, God's like, you have forsaken me.
Yeah.
I have this big,
On my way to get dick. You get dick.
I have this big welt on my forehead. You know those bubbles you get when you get hit? Yeah. I have this big bubble. Paramedics come. My sister's like, I'm going to pick you up. You're coming with me. Like, I'm going to take you home. And I'm like, no, I think I'm going to hang out with my friends. I was still planning on meeting up with them after.
With the bubble on your
head. With the bubble on my head and my car totaled. I was like, no, I'm going to hang out with my friends. She didn't let that happen. Thank God. But because I had insurance on the car and it was brand new, I got all the money back for it because it didn't lose any value.
Because it was only 4 days old.
It was 4 days old, yeah. And so I got the same car, but in white. Because I'm like, if my car is white, everyone's going to be able to see the car when I'm making illegal U-turns.
Not that you fucked up.
No. It's just that my car was black and it was nighttime and no one could see me doing an illegal U-turn. It's the color of the car.
Oh, my God.
So I get my brand new car again in white. And, you know, I'm having a great time. It's my friend's birthday. I go to this open mic that's no longer around. We go out to this bar after. We're having a couple drinks. I'm feeling good.
How long after you have this car?
Also, I'm underage. I should say that.
That's important.
And I'm getting there. This is a brand new car. Okay. I'm at my friend's birthday. I'm at this bar that I shouldn't be at because I think I'm 19 or 20. I get completely blacked out. I'm buying stranger shots. I hook up with a girl from an old Nickelodeon show that I used to be a huge fan of. I don't know how I get there. You know, we're on my friend's beanbag couch in his apartment. He's in the other room and I'm just hooking up with this girl that I used to be a fan of. She offers me an Uber. I know where my car's parked at. It's at the open mic. So I go to my car. I remember knocking on the open mic door because the guy who ran it lived there. He opens the door. He's like,
that sounds that like makes an open sense. Mic.
Yeah. It was under a bridge.
It's like the
too.
Show we did. Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, can I crash here? And he's like, it's 4 a.m. Like, you can't sleep here. I don't think he realized how fucked up I was because I imagine he would have helped if he knew the situation. And I'm like, oh, no worries. I'll find a place. Like, I'm good. My car's across the street. In my head, at this point, I think I'm going to just sleep in my car. I don't remember starting the car, but I start it. And this is 28 days after I get the brand new car. So this is all within a month of...
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. Honda Fits are made by the devil.
God,
still is not my fault.
God
this
would
is
agree.
God and the devil and the Honda
and
company.
Black,
yeah.
And black paint.
So I get in my car. Apparently, I'm driving it. I have no idea. I'm in Echo Park. All of a sudden, I hit my car on the center divider of the freeway in Sylmar, of all places. No one goes to Sylmar. You're either driving blacked out if you're there or you happen to be born there, you know? Yeah. No one goes to Sylmar by choice. And so the highway patrol comes because my car's totaled. I can't drive it off the freeway. I've tried. Nothing's working. I'm like trying to find water or gum in my car. My sister's like, just don't say you drank. Whatever you do, don't say you drank. So the highway patrol comes to move my car. I don't really remember, but when you hit the center divider in a blackout, all of a sudden you're not drunk anymore. Like, you're pretty sober-minded. So the cops get there. I'm like, oh, like, I'm a comedian and I'm always up late and I'm just so tired. I fell asleep. They're like, do you know where you are? And I'm like, I think I'm in Santa Monica. And they're like, you're in Sylmar. And I'm like, same thing. Tomato, tomato.
So not close.
Not even close,
close
at all. Not even close.
Literally, no. The distance is ridiculous.
And they should have arrested me.
Yeah.
I should have had a DUI and carried on the legacy that my mom created. I was sitting in the back seat of the car, and they're like, okay, can you get to the front seat? And I'm like, I know my rights. My friend's a lawyer. I don't have to do anything. Like, you can't test me. And they're like, we just need you to go in the front seat. And I was like, this is a trick. And then I got in the front seat. It was fine. My sisters picked me up at Denny's, and they
took you to a Denny's?
Yeah. Well, the highway patrol, once the car towing company got there, they just had me go with the car towing guy, and the car towing guy was meeting my sisters at the Denny's in Sylmar. They came to my rescue. And when I got in my sister's car, they were like, you reek of alcohol. And I had to go to my cousin's baby shower the next day, or wedding shower.
So they let you go, totally.
They let me go, completely.
So you said you've been clean and sober 5 years.
Yeah.
Or sober 5 years.
Yeah.
What age did you start drinking?
I started drinking, I was drinking like in 8th and 9th grade, but once I got into that relationship, I'm sure my drinking would have gotten worse if I wasn't in that relationship, because when I was dating that guy Blake, we just kind of like hung out together all the time. It was like very codependent, and so I didn't like hang out or party or anything. Like, we just watch movies and have sex in my Jeep, you know? at the duck pond. So that's all I was doing. And once I got out of that relationship, I was like, I'm not a virgin anymore. Like, nothing matters. And so I went on like a big dick spree, you know. I was like, who wants this? I'd go to house parties. I'd be like, you, we had economics together. What's up with you? Math, social studies? Like, come on. So I went crazy.
Wow.
And I was partying. Your honesty. Yeah. One time I hooked up with a white supremacist from my high school.
This is insane. This is the... Ash, you hearing that? This is the third white supremacist story.
Really?
We've had. Yeah.
Whoa. They're hiding.
They're apparently everywhere.
They're everywhere.
You didn't know you hooked up with him?
I knew I hooked up with him, but I didn't know he was white supremacist.
That's what I mean, yeah.
And it was two guys in one night in high school.
Both white supremacists?
There was this one guy, Mark. I don't think he was a white supremacist. But then there was this guy, Wes, who was the white supremacist. And when I left the room, he was sitting with my friend Sadie, because I was like getting changed or whatever. And Sadie's like, hey, Wes, did you know that Allie's Jewish? And the look on his face, I would do it again. I would do it again.
He was horrified.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He was like, what have I done? Yeah. So it was like beautiful.
But also, God, that's got to feel like shit. You just had sex with a guy.
For sure.
It's like...
But I'm also half Jewish. So I'm like, I don't know. I feel like, does it count fully? Like, if he tells his like white supremacist friends, are they disappointed in him? You know? Because he's disappointed in himself already.
That's enough, huh? That's enough.
And then his friends are probably like, you couldn't even do a full Jew, you know? So I'm sure there's probably some shame from that. I think he has a family now.
So did you start drinking from your parents' stuff, or did you go?
No, I think it was just from like leaving that relationship and not knowing who I was.
I mean,
as a
early
person.
On when you first started, eighth grade, you said, were you drinking what your parents had in the house, or were you getting it with your friends?
No, I would do it with my friends. Okay. Like, my friend would go on camping trips with her family, and her family were big drinkers, so I'd get fucked up with them. And my parents kind of always let me like do my own thing. They were like, just call and check in. So I would just be like at people's houses for days on end, you know. So I would be at my friend's house. We'd like go camping. We'd do whatever. And we'd just get like fucked up together. And then my senior year of high school, I started drinking a bunch. Then I crashed the car. Everyone's like worried about me. And they're like, you should take a break from drinking. And I'm like, okay. And then I couldn't take a break from drinking. Like, I just like wanted to keep doing it. I'm like, I don't get why I have to. Like, it was just an accident. Like, I didn't kill anyone. Like, I'm fine. Like, no one's hurt. I just don't have a car. Like, I just didn't understand that it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, like, kept drinking, and it kept being the same thing where I'd be like, well, I'm not going to get too fucked up. And then I'd get way too fucked up. And so then eventually I was like, okay, maybe I do need to, like, stop. And I kind of was like, I'm just going to stop drinking for a year, and then, you know, I'll see, I'll reevaluate. But once I stopped, I realized, like, my life was actually a lot better, and I was, like, focusing more on comedy and less on, like, which open mics had bars and stuff like that.
So you would plan your comedy out like that.
Yeah,
huh?
I would plan my open mics around like, oh, well, I'd rather go to this open mic that's at the bar than
the
open mic that's at the coffee shop. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, I never even thought of that.
Yeah. So, yeah, now it's been like almost 5 years of not drinking.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I'm happy.
I mean, I bet your old senior class sounds like they were happy, too. We had economics together. You said.
I know.
That was enough. To fucking
I just die. Went my fr- I went to my friend's wedding, and it was some friends from high school who I hadn't seen in a long time. And there was this one guy who I had such a big crush on in high school. And I remember when I told him I got that boyfriend, I thought he was going to be jealous and be like, no, come with me. Like, we were always meant to be together. And I was like, yeah, I have a boyfriend. And he was like, oh, I thought you were a lesbian. And I was like, no, I'm a lesbian for you.
I'm one girl from Nickelodeon, and you're all of a sudden you're
a
lesbian.
I know. But anyway, I've changed a lot. I could have boned all of them at that wedding. I didn't. I kept it in my pants.
All right, you kept it in your
pants.
I'm
a grown woman. Right. I found God again. It's just not a Christian God.
In your Subaru?
Uh-huh.
I don't know what to ask you about all this. It's so much there. You're drinking at what? It's so early, but your friends' parents were drinkers, and they would let you guys drink? So in like eighth grade, they're letting kids drink?
I think we.
I mean,
like,
am I understanding that?
Yeah,
right?
I had
definitely
some,
underage, obviously.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I had this one friend whose mom was always like pilled out, so she'd get a lot of alcohol. I had this other friend. There were like a lot of people who like came from families where they like really liked motocross, and I feel like motocross homes just like have lots of alcohol around for children. At least in my experience, children. That's just what I've had. You know, that's just what I've
Those
seen.
Those parents were much more.
Pretty
lax
about
it.
Yeah.
But also, if you're pilled up, you're not paying attention, so
no.
It's easy to steal.
Yeah.
And sneak
like we would
shit
have like co-ed sleepovers because the mom would be like out somewhere, and it would and her older sister would pretend to be the mom. So when the parents dropped off the kids, she'd be like, "Yeah, like this is my daughter."
Nah.
Yeah.
How much older?
Yeah. Her sister was in high school, but they were both really tall. Her sister Sarah was like big. Like they played volleyball, they were on crew, like they were big, tall women. So I don't think my parents personally went to the house and like met her, but like on the phone.
Oh, on the phone.
She'd be like, yeah. And then, but I remember other people's parents would meet her and we'd all be like in the other room, like listening to see if it worked. And it worked.
So yeah. What? So after the second accident, that's when you said, fuck it, I have to clean my shit up?
No, I mean, that was kind of the beginning of the end, but
what
it
was
took
it
me
where
some
you
time.
Finally said, all right.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so so I started going to AA meetings because I was like, if I go to AA meetings, like people will think that I'm doing better. That didn't happen. I was just going to meetings, whatever. So I was like sober physically for like 3 months. And I had booked a trip to Europe. I was living at my aunt's house, and this was before I stopped drinking. I was, like, taking shots of Jack Daniels in my room at my aunt's house, and I'm like, I'm going to book a flight to Europe. Like, that's what adults do. And I just thought that that's what you do. So I booked this flight. I was like, I'm going to move there. I'm going to do comedy there. I'm going to be old enough to drink out there and, like, be a...
Again, with thinking about...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm so glad that this all happened the way it did because it would have been so fucked up if I had moved there. I would have just not been doing comedy and probably just like drinking and partying. So I booked this one-way ticket to London. And
damn, one way. You were convinced, huh?
Yeah. So I booked this one-way ticket. Drinking Jack Daniels. I'm sober for 3 months, but my trip's coming up. You know, I forgot that I had booked this trip. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to move to London and do stand-up. And I told my friend Alex, and I was like, I'm moving. Like, it's all happening. And she's like, so you have your visa and everything so you can live out there? And I was like, I'm going to get it once I'm out there. Like, I'm going to work at a coffee shop and get a visa. And she was like, that's not how it works. You have to, like, get the visa and then go. And so I was like, ooh. So it ended up being a 3-week trip. And when I got there, I think the first week I was still sober. And then the second and third week, I was drinking again. It was bad. I was waking up with strangers from Australia in my hostel room.
What is it about Australians?
It's dark. I do not like Australian men. They're dirty. And they're diseased. And they scare me. They scare me.
You're about to get beat up by the Australians.
No, I'm so... I love Australian guys. But it is a dark road I go on with them.
You love the... That's your thing, huh?
It
Look
might be. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I saw you just go... And hostels. It's always the hostels,
it's always
huh?
Everyone's horny in hostels and poor, you know? Mm-hmm. You're just ready to have a baby in there. So I come back home and I'm like, I need to get my shit together. This keeps happening.
And can I ask you too, like, are you never once ever worried about being raped or robbed or beaten?
No.
When you're... You know, I've learned so much talking to people, especially women, about, like, I've said it before, but my friend recently said to me, like, do you ever fear any woman you walk by on the sidewalk? And I was like, no.
Yeah.
And she's like, but we fear every fucking guy. Almost all of them can take us.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, if you're already at that disadvantage and now you're rendered helpless, have you never not been worried about that happening to you?
No, because I think I, like, had this... I think when I'm drinking, I have this attitude of, like, fuck it, whatever happens, happens. And I have this confidence, and I'm like, no one's going to fuck with me. Like, I'm on top of the world. Like, I really think that I'm just, like, the best, you know? I'm the best.
There's
like,
that self-confidence.
Yeah. Like, I can't be stopped when I'm drinking. And, like, I have all the control when I'm drinking. And, like, that's genuinely what I thought. I think just in general, it's scary being a woman. So I think there's just that base level, whether I'm drinking or not,
yeah,
of like I
that's
am
what I'm saying.
Somewhat scared. I was on the train yesterday. There was a dude smoking crack in front of me and other guys like hooping and hollering.
Did he have his mask on?
No. And he was like blowing it out like it was a jewel.
He's blowing like crack over. Out on the train.
Yeah, I'm coming down off a secondhand crack experience yesterday.
That is fucking insane.
It was not. I've never seen someone do crack in my face.
In the train, you're blowing out train. Where other people can breathe that
oh
shit
God,
in.
Oh my God, I was stressed.
Man.
Yeah, but when I came home, I was like, okay, I need to like get my shit together. I'm going to drink normally. I'm going to drink responsibly.
So still drink. But
still drink, but I just like you. Get it under my belt. Mm-hmm. Drink yeah. like an adult. Drink like a lady. Don't drink like my mom. Have it under control. Mm-hmm. And so I'm moving to LA November 1st, 2015. Yeah. November 1st, 2015, I'm moving to LA. Halloween's the night before. I don't want to miss out on Halloween. No. I want to go out with my friends. I'll yeah. have a couple beers, nothing else, and it'll be fine. So I go out. Someone offers me a shot. I'm like, no, I'm only drinking beer. Someone offers me another shot. No, I'm only drinking beer. Someone offers me another shot. I don't want to turn down a shot. That's so rude of me. Already. I don't know any of yeah, these people. Right, yeah. Like, what are they going to think of me? So then I drink. And then at this point, I'm like, well, I'm drinking all of their alcohol. I run to the store, get more alcohol, end up getting blacked out. Wake up half naked on my dad's couch.
What? What are you talking about?
I take an Uber home. I don't remember. Like, I don't remember the Uber, but I was on the couch. And my dad has a roommate. So, like, this is not good. Oh, like, this is dark, you know? And so I just get home. I take my shirt off. I keep my pants on. And I just get under the covers. And I wake up. And I'm like, this is so embarrassing. Like, I have to move to LA today. I'm so hungover. I feel awful. I broke another promise. I told myself I wasn't going to break. And, like, this is such a sad way for, like, a father to see. I mean, I don't...
Did he?
I don't think so. It's not something that you're like, Dad, did you happen to see me naked and blacked out the other night? So I've just, like, let that go. But, yeah, I'm like, this is so embarrassing to, like, show up and, like, you know, just be a mess. And so the next day I was like, I need to stop. Like, I can't keep doing this.
So you stopped?
So then I stopped. So... When people ask me how long I've lived at my house in LA, I'm like, 5 years or 4 years, whatever months. Because it was November 1st, 2015. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But I'm glad because I feel like moving to LA with, you know, nothing holding me back in that way has, like, really helped me to, like, be focused and, like, kind of change my attitude and, like, my life.
Well, that's great because this is certainly not a city you'd think you'd come to. To beat alcoholism.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? You don't think Los Angeles, I'm going to LA, goddamn. And the comedy, to get into comedy, man.
I remember one time being so coked out with like two friends who I don't
Wait,
think...
when did coke come into all this? You did more...
Oh, it's always been a constant. Like my senior year of high school, I started doing it.
Why?
Because my best friend at the time had coke and knew the people who had it and didn't want to do it alone. So she'd always offer it to me. So I'd always do it with her. And we had a really great time. And I never, like, knew anyone who sold it. So that would have been bad because I probably would have been, like, real bad. But just whenever someone had it, I would for sure be doing it. But I remember I was super coked out. And I was walking by the Laugh Factory with my friends, and we were all in the parking lot of the Laugh Factory, and we were like, one day, my name's going to be up there. I was like, this is my town. Like, this is the best version of myself. And then, yeah, I was working at Lemonade the next morning, just, like, still drunk, being like, I'm going to make it in this town.
And then a virus comes around and yeah. wipes it all out anyway. It yeah. doesn't even fucking matter. Yeah.
But I think, you know, I think, like... being on lockdown or like COVID and
Has
pandemic and everything. No, not for me. And I know that like a lot of people are struggling now because yeah. it does feel like what's the point. But I think for me at least, like it's been a really nice time to like kind of just like do a regrouping. It's like, what do I want to do? Like when this is over, like how do I want to come out of it? And it can be easy to like lose sight of that and like just say, fuck it. Like I'm just going to indulge in like the shitty part of myself, but for me I'm like, why don't I like learn a new hobby, which is skateboarding, and like, you know.
Oh, so that's new for you? You haven't always been skateboarding?
No, I've
thought
been
you're
doing
just
that
trying
like
to get into
months.
Tricks. Oh no. Wow, all right.
Yeah, So I've just started skating because it's something that I like have to work at to improve on. And it does, the skate community feels a lot like the comedy community. Like the skate park's like the open mic or something. So you like see all your friends and talk shit together. And so that's been really nice. And also just being like, what do I want to do when this is over? Like, how do I want comedy to go for me when this is over?
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yeah, I think if I was still drinking, it would be like a mess.
You did a lot of crazy shit, but what stands out? What's the most, what do you say is the, some of the most craziest things you've done that you actually remember when you were drunk?
I think like the hooking up with two guys in one night in high school was a pretty standout moment for me.
I got to ask you, you mean at different times, like back to back?
Yeah. One, and then I kind of took my pick at the other.
In the same house.
In the same house, in the same bedroom.
Oh, not left and...
No. They knew. They were both, like, aware of it. They were, like, friends.
Like, this ain't gonna happen at the same time. No. But one of you has to go
yeah.
second.
Yeah, for sure. I was like, do rock, paper, scissors. We'll sort it out. We'll be in and out in a minute. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was, like, running a brothel for myself.
Yeah,
I was self-employed. Yeah. Oh, my God. I did go to a brothel in Tijuana sober and got my... coochie eaten out.
No.
Yeah, with Ari Manis and Jamar Neighbors. We all went to Tijuana after a show in San Diego. And
that's
exactly
what I did. I did a show back in the... I didn't get my pussy eaten out, but I did a show in San Diego back in the day at a place called 4th and B.
Yeah.
And it was a house of blues. It was a music venue, but on certain weekend nights, they didn't have an act. They'd have comedy.
Yeah.
And they paid well. They gave you a hotel. And I took a friend of mine. I was like, we're going to go down to Tijuana after this. And that's what we did. We walked over, got a cab, went to a strip club.
It's like 5 minutes away.
Yeah, it was it was crazy.
Yeah.
And then went to the massage parlor after that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where, I've told the story before, but long story short, my friend's like, I'm going to pay for two for each of us. And I was like, look, I'm not having sex with I'm just not.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not judging them, but I just don't want it. I've never had a disease. I don't want it. I'm not paying for it. You're not going to gift me a disease.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want any of it. But I'll go back there and we'll see what we can do. And the second girl comes in, and I'm telling you, she has a mustache. Like, hardcore. Like, more than this hair on my lip right here. And I was like, nah. And she's like, but your friend paid. I'm like, I don't care. You're off tonight. Take the money. It ain't mine. See you later. And I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
It was not a good time. But anyway, your story. You went to Tijuana.
Yeah, similar experience. We all agreed that if the guys got girls, then I would also get a girl.
Okay.
And I didn't know what to do. You know, I had that one drunken lesbian experience, but I haven't, you know, my mind's not super aware of all the possibilities, and she doesn't speak English very well.
Mm-hmm.
So I find this girl who, the guys are so horny, they're like, every girl in here is so hot. I'm like, you guys are blinded.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm taking my time finding this girl. There's one who's super cute, so I'm like, okay, like, let's do this. She's like, what are we doing? Like, I'm so confused.
I was gonna say, I wonder how many women down there get female customers.
I don't think many.
I'll bet you it's
No. I might be one in one.
You might be the only one.
Because she was like,
this one time.
She kept looking at her boss like, am I being pranked? Like, are you serious? Like, does she want to? Like,
and you're only doing this because you have an agreement you made, or you want this?
Because of the agreement I made, and also because I was like, this seems like it could be a fun experience and a good story to tell. And
all
like,
right.
You know, and it's not like I wasn't doing it to be like, haha, like I got her. You know, I was like genuinely like, let's see what happens. So we get into this room, and I speak like beginner Spanish. So I'm like, ¿cómo estás? Like, panoche, por favor. You know, I'm like, she's like, what do I do? I'm like, no sé. I said, do what you would do like a guy. So I'm like, como un, you know, niño, or like, como un hombre. And so then she just starts spitting on my pussy.
Spitting on it?
Yeah, you know, getting it lubed up.
Just,
yeah, just some spit. And then she's just like jacking me off. And then it's...
she's fucking spit.
And brothels in Tijuana
are weird.
Does
she use Dental Dam?
No.
She doesn't use anything. She just goes down on you and starts...
Yeah.
And she went down on you.
Yeah.
You gotta be the one... Girl, you gotta be. Yeah, I mean, maybe there's threesome couples, maybe, you know.
But not just a girl
solo.
On girl.
No, that can't. I mean, also, you might be the only solo. I wonder how many female customers come in the, fuck her, the establishment.
Yeah.
Rolling in solo.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird, though, because when I tell people I went to a brothel and when I was being told I was going to a brothel, in my head, I'm like, it's going to be this dark, dingy place. But it's essentially just a strip club where you can go move to another area and, like, hook up with people. And so they're playing, but it's in Tijuana. Like, there's not, like, a live DJ who's, like, spinning great tracks. It's just, like, top 40 hits. So at the time I was there, I was getting my pussy eaten out to Adele's Hello. Yes, I swear to God. I swear to God.
The saddest.
Yeah, so I'm just like, hello from the other side.
That is ridiculous.
It was the weirdest experience.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
Oh my god. You're
I hope my mom is listening to this. I'm gonna send her into another binge drinking episode.
I don't know one. I wish I did, but I don't know one woman that's gone to a prostitute or a sex worker, whatever you want to call them, to be pleasured. Not one.
And that's
I mean
why...
maybe they've gone to men for a little on a masseuse or something, but I don't know any that I know of. I might know them and they just keeping that shit tight lipped, but not you, girl. How was she? How
I'm
was
not
she?
Like other girls.
How was she?
It was not enjoyable.
You sure?
It was not enjoyable.
Hello wasn't getting you over the top.
No. It was so awkward. I felt so
spinning, kicking on.
And then I had like this
how you suck.
I had this ethical crisis after. I'm like, am I a problem? I'm like, but this is her job. Like, it's rude of me to assume that she doesn't want the job, but maybe she's like forced into it. And I'm just like, I don't know. I had this whole cry, but I would do it again.
You would?
Yeah.
You change the music. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe
put
have
on my
a better
own playlist.
Person.
Yeah.
Just wear your earbuds.
Yeah. I think it would be fun. I wish there was like a brothel with dudes. Actually, that would actually scare me. I don't think I would
this
do
is
that.
What I thought you were going to say. Mm-mm. I thought you were going to say you got a man. Was there even a guy in the fucking thing?
There's the guys who like get the money for the girls and stuff.
I see.
And who like kind of the conduct muscle. The show. Yeah. And are like the bouncers. Yeah, it was wild. I'm glad I made it out alive though.
Yeah, I mean,
and
again,
like without any sort of STDs.
Yeah.
Even with all of these stories and all the Australian hostel hookups and things like that, clean as a whistle.
You're lucky.
I think it's going to hit me randomly. I'm going to be like 70 and be like, I miss Gerald.
And yeah. Pop up all over you.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You're something else, girl. You're pretty goddamn fearless.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of people that would tell that shit.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like I don't know.
You are who you are.
Yeah.
I love it. It's the first time. I imagine it's the first time a lot of people are hearing something.
Really?
Like that. Yeah. Do you know any other woman that's gone and done that?
No.
Right. You don't even know another woman that's done that.
But that's why I like sharing crazy stories is because I don't care. You know, like I did it. I whatever.
Nobody got hurt.
But I also like when other people are like, I did the same thing. It's cool.
Well, you have to let me know if you get hit up by some ladies that are like, nah, I went by myself to one and had a woman or whatever. I'm curious.
Me too.
And now I'm really curious. What if it's like the new like underground thing when you're like, no, actually more women go. You're like, what? No way.
I know. What if we like find some dark truth about the brothels in Tijuana and who goes there?
There's a picture of you on the wall down there smiling or something. And they're like, no, this is the one.
It's so sketchy. They probably do have cameras in there.
I'm sure they have cameras in there. All right. We both have to wrap this up and get out of here. So I'm going to ask you a question. I'm not going to forget. We've covered everything on that list and then some. You did not put getting my pussy eaten at a Tijuana brothel on
that
your list.
That seemed more of a highlight than a lowlight to me. Didn't cross my mind as something
that is
sad.
So well said, girl. All right. I always ask first-time guests advice they would give to their 16-year-old self. So after everything we've talked about now, knowing where you were at 16, what would you say?
I would say be confident. Know that things are going to work out. Don't be selfish. Think about other people than just yourself and what you need and what you want. And just like show up for your life.
All right. I like that. Show up for yourself. You said that earlier, and I like that.
I think it's very important.
That's powerful to show up for yourself. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Stand up for yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that whole don't just fucking, I've never been that. You should just be, I'm just happy to be here. I'm not. Yeah. I work to fucking be here. Yeah. I'm not just happy to be here so you can shit all over me. I worked hard to be where I am. So good for you. Will you promote, again, anything you'd like to put out there?
Resting Bitch Podcast.
Soon to be, possibly soon to be.
Something else. Who knows?
We'll see.
And then Instagram at NotAllieMac.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, you're great. You're great. You made me laugh hard a lot.
I like your laugh. You have such a good laugh.
That's nice of you to say. There's a lot of people that disagree.
Really?
More than agree, but there's definitely some.
What?
Yeah, there's some iTunes reviews out there.
Oh, my God. Your laugh is great.
I can't listen to this asshole's laugh.
Whatever.
And then it makes me laugh harder. You know?
Fuck them.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on. As always, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next week.